You're listening to Rise Up Radio here on WBAI, your Peace and Justice community radio station. We're discussing youth participation in mainstream politics and being pragmatic about social change. We're joined in the studio by Yadonis Rodriguez. Thanks for coming, Yadonis.
Thank you.
He's a community organizer and high school teacher from Washington Heights. He's running for the city council, and the election is coming up September 9th, less than 2 months away.
Hey, welcome, Yadonis. And this is Sarah. On the phone is Melissa Mart-Ivrito, an activist running for city council from East Harlem. Melissa is the founder of Women of El Barrio and is a member of Community Board 11, the Violence Intervention Program, and the Homeowners Association of East Harlem. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Now, starting with the nuts and bolts, what is the city council? What does it do? How does somebody get on it? Melissa, could you start us off on the first part of this question? And Yadonis, perhaps you could give us the rundown on the how to get on it part, since you ran for city council a couple of years ago and probably have changed your strategy based on experience. We're informal here. Please, anyone chime in if you want to add a point or a question. Melissa?
Yes, in terms of your question, the New York City Council is the legislative body for the city of New York. So basically, it's that body. There are 52 members that enacts legislation with regards to city law. It also passes the annual budget, all of the stonewalling that we hear in the negotiations going back and forth between the mayor and the city council. It's that body that kind of negotiates on behalf of the communities that they represent and on behalf of the city for anything with regards to the budget and any legislation. So as I mentioned, there are 52 members or 53, and I'm representing the community of East Harlem, the south, a little bit of the South Bronx on the west side. So that is the role of that body.
So when they're negotiating with the mayor?
Correct, negotiating with the mayor. And also there's obviously the issues with regards to also state funding, because the funding that we get as a city comes from the state and also from federal bodies. So there is a level, whatever happens at the state level is also going to impact the city, because we either could get funding cut or we have to, as a body, negotiate for more funding and for more services. So there's a lot of, it's an intricate process, and it's very important, obviously, that disenfranchised communities are accurately and actively represented on that body.
Thanks, Melissa. Yadonis.
Well, the city council is the institution that brings together representatives from different communities throughout New York City, and the main responsibility is to approve the budget every year. They start the process in February, discussing on how the city will be investing, in this case, $44 billion. So the first question is, what is the role of those representatives who come from different communities? In my case, I expect to represent the community of Washington Heights, so it will be my responsibility that when the budget is approved, I want to be sure that money will be investing in education, that money will be investing in affordable housing, that we create more jobs for the people who live in my area. So my responsibility will be not to speak in the name of my community, but to guarantee that I'm going to be part of the process, and then my community will be speaking throughout with Yadonis Rodriguez. But in order to do so, I have to have a goal to include my community. I don't expect to be speaking Channel 41, New York One, or New York Times, or anything saying that I represent 150,000 residents in my community without consulting that group. So the city council has the main responsibilities, first of all, to approve or disapprove the budget that is proposed by the mayor. But not only that, it is a group of people who decide everything. They are in charge of approving or making amendment or all law that rule New York City.
And how does one make a run for the council?
Well, in this case, like, running for a city council, I see as a great opportunity, because, first of all, I know that people don't trust politicians. So that's my first goal. When I go outside, my day starts at 6 in the morning every day, from here to the next 2 months, getting in touch with the voters, going to a train station, going to apartment meeting. And the first thing that I start sharing with the people is that I know that they don't trust politicians, that they know that most of the politicians, they go and meet the voters, and they go and say what they expect the voters would like to say, instead of coming together, having discussion, and listening from the community, listening for the voters, what is exactly what they would like to see in their community. So I think that unless we, when I say we, I invite all listeners of this program, those people who are part of the process of organizing March in solidarity to things that happen in Third World Nation, those group of people, those of us who were part of the anti-war movement, it is also our responsibility to get involved in what's going on here locally. And I'm not saying only elections. I'm saying it is easy to, and I know, and when I say it is easy, I'm not saying that it doesn't take a lot of work. Yes, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of dedication to be part of that solidarity movement. But when we do a solidarity work, supporting people in Iraq, in Palestine, in Haiti, Dominican Republic, and we didn't get involved in what's going on here, we are not responsible. Mm-hmm. In the community where I live, my people, the Incans, in this case Dominican, who live in Washington Heights, is less than $20,000 a year. So I don't think that any of us, especially those people who belong to a middle class, who go to a rally, to a march, but when they go home, they don't have the same problem that most of those people have in our community. So we have to be connected. So only if we, again, the progressive movement in New York City, we get involved in politics, we will keep having the same corruptive government that we have. We would like to see tuition decrease. We don't want to see a tuition increase. But let's ask it a question. Who decide on tuition? Who compose? Who are appointed? Who appoint the board member or the board trustee? The governor and the mayor. So how can we expect that tuition will not be increased when those people who take decision are appointed by in this case, by Pataki and Bloomberg?
So your candidacy depends on collaboration, cooperation at the community level, grassroots level.
My candidacy depends on, I say, on the more than 20 years that I've been doing community work. I've been in this station many times. When we took over as a city college, 89, 91, I'm not saying that I was the first one, but I can say there was three people organizing the student movement, organizing the takeover as a city college. I was one of those three. When the student movement was organized at CUNY, if there was three people, I was one of those three organizing the big rally, 93, 92, in all those years. So if you ask me in 93, Idanis, are you planning to run for any position? I was not even thinking about it. But then in 2000, I say, come on, how can we let people running in our position in an election that we can win? In elections taking place in a community like mine, in the one where I'm coming from, in this thing, is winnable with 5,000 votes. So I invite all of you who went to so many rallies that I went, and I will continue going after September 9th. Regardless of what happened on September 9th, I will be involved in the anti-war movement. But I invite all of you to help me to be elected as a city council, and I will never speak in the name of my community. But also I would like to invite you to be part of my, I say, the whole process that I will be part of being elected in the city council.
And I want to ask Melissa Anya Donis, what do you say to cynical young people who don't think voting makes a difference?
Well, let me, if I may intercede,
because
I'm here and I haven't had an opportunity to speak.
Yeah.
That with regards to my intentions to represent the community, the reason I have decided to run for city council, obviously as an activist, as a progressive individual who has been active in the city of New York, I came from Puerto Rico in 87, but I've been active since I came to the city. Obviously as a progressive individual, it appears to be innately contradictory to decide that you're going to be part of a process that on the outside you've been extremely critical of.
Right.
So one of the things that as an activist, as a responsible individual who is truly committed to the empowerment of her community, it was very difficult to make the decision to run, to then be part of the inside of that entity that you have, or the government, the governmental process that you've been so critical of. But obviously, as Idanis has pointed out, it is a responsibility in order to make the changes, in order to access the resources that our community so desperately need, then we need to be able to inject and insert people that are community-minded, that are grassroots, that can in some way instill confidence once again the community that has become so cynical because they have been left on the wayside, they have been ignored, they have disrespected and been discarded. So my interest is to inject that that level of confidence. I have the same problems in my community when I go speaking to people, when I knock doors on doors. Oh, you're going to be like everybody else. You're just going to get up in your position and you're going to forget about the community. And it's very hard to kind of, you know, deprogram people. They've been programmed to feel that way. And I try to tell them that my interest is to not tell you what you need to empower yourself, but I'm going to work alongside you. Because I have a responsibility, but you have a responsibility to empower yourself. And I'm going to be a facilitator of information as a way of ensuring that empowerment. So that is something that has been a challenge, but I take it willingly. It's been an incredibly wonderful experience being able to talk to people one-on-one and to really find out what are the concerns and being able to say, you know what, I want to show you that it's not going to be politics as usual with my campaign. It's going to be politics unusual because what you've thought of, that what you think of politics is not going to be representative in my position as city council member for District 8. So I'm the only woman that's running. I am someone that has experience in my community. I am a homeowner. I live in East Harlem. I went to school at Columbia University, so I have the experience and I lived on the West Side. I also, as part of the South Bronx, that is part of my district, I was part of a youth organization. And I was the deputy director of that organization for a couple of years, and we had a program in East Harlem. So I have, in the South Bronx, I have specific experiences with the three distinct communities that District 8 encompasses. And that's one of the great challenges of my district, the fact that we have three very distinct communities within our boundaries.
Melissa?
Yes.
I want to break in and also welcome to the airwaves Julia Walsh, who is on the phone, a student at SUNY New Paltz and recently elected trustee of the Village of New Paltz in the Hudson Valley. We spoke earlier in the show with Jason West, Green Mayor of New Paltz, and now we'd like to compare the strategies of Yudanis Rodriguez and Melissa Vivareto with the experience of Julia and her running mates upstate. Welcome to WBAI, Julia.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really agree with the idea of the peace movement really propelling us forward as a movement right now. And the thing that really made Rebecca and Jason and I want to run was the understanding that we can do something right here in our local communities. And we ran for that purpose. And basically, the youth got us into office. Anyone that says their vote doesn't count when you look at the New Paltz election, it's not true. We were elected because we ran a rigorous campaign in our community for environmental change and also empowering youth and students to become involved in their democracy.
Well, earlier Jason West was commenting, Melissa, that there wasn't much of a possibility for independents to run in New York City elections. Can you comment on how candidates in New York City Council elections to some extent have to meet certain criteria and toe a certain line and operate within the Democratic Party versus running completely independently?
I mean, I think I would agree. I mean, I am running on the Democratic line, and I think the process, the way it is, this is my first time going through the process. Yudanis is a different experience, so he probably is more familiar. But in terms of just getting to get on the ballot, you know, it was a very rigorous process, and it's at best, I mean, I think it's very anti-democratic. You have to get out there, you have to get 950 signatures, then actually you can get challenged, somebody can try to knock you off the ballot. I mean, you have to raise a minimal amount of money if you're going to be part of the campaign finance, meaning that you're going to get matching funds. So that's the process for someone who's within the Democratic Party. I'm someone who, despite the fact that I'm running as a Democrat, I really am running against the system to a certain extent because I don't have the Democratic machinery support in any way, and I'm sure it's the same for Yudanis running against an incumbent. So I could imagine that for an independent candidate, a Green Party candidate, it would be extremely difficult, even more so, to be part of the process and to make any sort of headway. So I believe, and I always encourage in terms of third-party candidacies, I think it's a great opportunity because, you know, we have to see that there are more options beyond the typical Republican and Democratic lines and more progressive agendas that come forth out of the Green Party or other independent candidacies. So it is very difficult. I don't know if Yudanis wants to speak to that, but that's the situation that I've encountered.
Hi, this is Stephen. I want to throw a question out here. One of the things I've noticed looking at progressive politics in the U.S. over the last 100 years or so, it seems that when you have a progressive movement, such as like in the 30s or the 60s, one of the methods of co-optation is electoral politics. And one of the things Yonatan has said is that he feels that people don't trust politicians. How would you respond to the question that it's not necessarily that people don't trust politicians, but there are systemic reasons that, like, progressive issues, like, are constrained by how the state works? And, like, how are you going to run your campaign so it doesn't become a means of co-optation?
Yonatan?
I think that as everything that happens in life, people have to be consistent. And what happened in politics is not separate from what happened in every other thing that we do in the city. Look at the student movement. When I look at the student movement, when I look around, the hundreds of people that we were involved in the 80s, when I look around, I can tell you, I don't know where most of those people went. So, and there was a group of people who were talking about making the big changes in life. Especially something that happened to the student movement is that many people, when they go throughout the high school, the college level, we have so many plans, and we have so many dedication, and we make a pledge that we want to be dedicating our life to make societies different. And when you look 15 years and in the future, you ask yourself, if you are one of those consistent who dedicate your life, and you reach your 50 and your 60, and you say, where are most of those people? So it's not only politics. It's also society. It's a matter of dedication. It's a matter of making a commitment. I think that, yes, politics is not where it should be. But there's no doubt that politics is there. And when we look around, regardless, we can have a big plan. Like those big corporations, I can tell you, in my community, the New York, the Presbyterian Hospital, they presented a master plan for the next 30 years. What is our plan for the progressive movement in New York City for the next 20, 50, 30 years? So if we don't have a plan, and if among our plan, we don't look as politics, as one of the components that we should look, so we will be going, as someone say, Frei Beto from Brazil, that he mentioned in the case of Mexico, he say, we will never see big changes in Mexico because when you see members of the more progressive people going in one direction, but you will see most of the Mexican people with the Virgencita de Guadalupe. Sometimes we, the progressive, the radical, we believe that we have the whole truth, and we don't go down, we meet with the people. For God's sake, if we want to have an opinion on rent control, let's organize a meeting. Let's dedicate our time. Listen from the tenants. Most of those people are registered Democrats. And I'm not saying that the elite of both Democratic and Republican, they have a big difference. But I believe that in the base, in their bases, I think we see big difference. If we dedicate our time, we can be an alternative in our community.
We just have a few minutes left, but I want to ask Julia Walsh on the phone. The Green Party has a national strategy of building up local elections, winning local elections. Can you talk about how your campaign was part of a long-term strategy and whether you see the Green Party as having a viable long-term strategy in terms of building up progressive power nationally?
And let me add one thing. Most people don't know you are in a campaign right now running for county legislature, so maybe you can put that into your answer to Nell.
Well, basically, when we ran, it was a nonpartisan election, and the Green Party lost its ballot status. As far as how we're going to, you know, continue on with the green ideals and the national campaign that they have and their ideals, I think that we're beginning to see that here in New Paltz as far as just changing our sewer system so that we're not dumping sludge in another county but using an alternative artificial reed system to clean out sludge. So they're small ways of changing, but they actually have a big impact if this is a strategy that the progressive movement takes on to start with local politics and regaining these seats that are the people's and are closer to us than the other levels of the government. So I think that as far as a strategy for the Green Party, that this is what they really need to look at, taking local elections back from the Democrats and Republicans that keep the system locked.
Well, we have about a minute left, and I'd like to ask Melissa on the phone if you could just give a final comment about how you see young people getting involved in electoral politics as an empowering activity as part of your campaign, but just in general pushing elected officials to be accountable to communities.
Well, I mean, I think that I'm just an example, and I think Idanis is an example of how change is possible, even if we were not to win our elections, that I think the message that we're getting out there is an empowering one. I know that I have a lot of young people incorporated into my campaign. Having worked in youth leadership development, I understand the importance. And I think it's a great example for them to see that you can make a change, even from outside, but also from within. And I'd just like to give my website address if people want to just look a little bit more about my campaign.
Great.
People
can log on. This is what we were going to ask of all of you.
Right, to melissaforcitycouncil.com. Again, that's melissaforcitycouncil.com, and I thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you, Melissa. Yedonis.
First of all, I would like to invite all members of the Green Party Progressive People. I have a fundraising. One member of the Green Party is organizing a fundraising in Washington Heights. Her number is 212-928-9239. If you want to have a candidate elected without any tie with the landlords, I need your support. My number, you can reach me at 212-795-1123. I need your contribution. I need your time. If you have any time for September 9, I need a lot of people to help me as a poll watcher, because that's the day when the Democratic machine, they try to steal the election for progressive candidates.
Okay,
so
that's
if you want
212-795-1123 for Yedonis Rodriguez. And Julia, what about your campaign?
Right now we're in the very beginning stages. We'll have a website, innovationcampaign.org.
Innovationcampaign.org.
And I wanted to thank Yedonis and Melissa for the work that they're doing, and that together we can take back America.
And we will. Thank you all.